This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Is a global recession looming? Nearly 8 years after the presidential campaign that brought Barack Obama into the White House, nearly 8 years after the financial system buckled under a collapsing bubble of mortgage securities. Well, today we look to China for some very different but equally alarming rumbles. For months, China has been looking at declining sales of its exports and declining domestic demand for its goods. This week, it devalued the yuan, its currency, by about 4.4%. As manufacturing declines, the China industrial behemoth finds itself accumulating giant surpluses of raw materials. Pushing those surpluses out on the market is causing prices to plummet in many sectors around the world. And this discounting may turn things around for Chinese sales, but it is a direct shot to other global industries like the steel industry. China and Japan are the two biggest producers of steel in the world. But when both Asian giants start discounting the price of rolled steel and rebar and other steel, it hits home here in the U.S. steel industry, once the biggest in the world. I'm joined by Leo Gerard, International President of the United Steelworkers Union. President Gerard, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.
How much are you worried about what's going on in China right now?
I'm extremely worried, and I'm not only worried about the steel industry. The steel industry is obviously very, very vulnerable. China now is alleged, and I say alleged because they don't report everything, able to produce 1.1 billion, billion with a B, tons of steel. And that creates almost a 400 million ton overcapacity in China. And they're dumping that all over the world. But they're also doing the same thing. When you look at tire and rubber for automobiles, they're doing the same thing with paper. They're doing the same thing with aluminum. They're doing the same thing in almost every category. Plus, as you mentioned, they have devalued their currency. So they're causing disruptions in Europe. They're causing disruptions in America, in Mexico, in Latin America, and in Brazil. And something's got to be done to stop it. They've got to start playing by the rules.
So as you see it, Leo Gerard, China is doing what Standard Oil used to do a long time ago. When they can't necessarily increase demand, what they do is they go after market share by heavily discounting prices, except in this case, it's China, and they can do it on all kinds of commodities, and they're trying to grab market share even if they can't increase demand right away.
What they're actually doing is not only increasing market share, they're depressing the market all around the world, and they're in great possibility of causing a huge economic downturn in the world. We've been after the American government to do something about China's continuing devaluing of their currency. This is not the first time it's happened. It's happened several times where they've devalued their currency for a period of time. They come under pressure. They let it inch up a little wee bit, never back to the level it was at, and then they'll do it again. And the thing is, they don't play by any rules. Someone asked me once, how come the steelworkers win so many trade cases against the Chinese government? And the reason we do is because they cheat. Somehow, the American government has said that they want to leave the door open for China at some time in the future, joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We couldn't let that happen unless they're going to start to play by the rules and have an ability to enforce the rules. John, I mentioned the point of filing trade cases. To get from start to finish in a trade case can take upwards of 2 years. During that period of time, they keep flooding the market, keep depressing prices, keep, as you say, trying to get market share in a certain commodity. And what they do is they actually force the closure of manufacturing facilities in North America, in Europe, and other parts of the world. And that's very, very dangerous to the global economy.
Well, which is worse, Leo Gerard? I mean, the counterargument to you would be economists who say a trade war where tariffs go up everywhere would be hugely inflationary and would also reduce jobs.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's just straight up BS by these guys. You know, the fact of the matter is that we're in a trade war. We're in a trade war, and we're going into a gunfight with a slingshot. And if we want to have a global economy, in the industrial economy of the world, where the winner is the greatest cheater, then that doesn't spell very good for those of us that want to play by the rules. And those economists that do that, as I would always say, is follow the money. Figure out who's paying them for their studies. It's just not true.
Now, politically, the United States is a very different organized economy than the Chinese, given that they are communist and they're a one-party system, and they're a controlled economy in to a much greater degree than the United States. Can they hold out longer than the United States if this becomes a game of chicken?
Well, I think that they're in deep trouble, and obviously the United States has to respond. But I think the United States has to create a atmosphere where the Europeans will also be part of that response, where the Brits will be part of that response, where Mexico and Canada will be part of that response. This is happening not just in America, although America's taken it the worst. Others have some ability to get to a remedy quicker than we do. But that has to happen. And the other thing, John, if you go from the time that we allowed the Chinese into the so-called WTO, and you take the accumulated trade deficits from that point on, in my world, the trade deficit is simply a wealth transfer that we owe them. We've transferred wealth to them by buying more from them than we sell them. So we're transferring wealth. During that period of time since they joined the WTO, China has accumulated almost $7.5 trillion of unpaid, if they want to call it that, trade deficits. We've transferred wealth to China that has allowed them to accelerate the manufacturing of their economy faster than ours.
Let's come back to the question of what can be done here. There have been tariffs imposed on China. What's been the impact as far as you can see?
Look, I think that we're talking to the administration. The steel industry is. Some other industries are. What we need is a better system of enforcement. We've proposed to the administration an enforcement package that once you've been named as a cheater, you can do something. We need to have the American government name China as a currency manipulator. We need to have a dialogue with Europeans and the Brits to do the same thing over there, because we've got to bring that system that they're using to grow their industrial base at the expense of the rest of the world. We've got to bring that to a conclusion. You hit it right on the introduction. They play by a different set of rules. They have a different timetable, and they've got to keep their economy growing at somewhere between 7% and 9%. Otherwise, they're going to have people in the streets. They don't want people in the streets. They want our people in the streets. In fact, they want our people not to be able to have an income. If that's okay, they'll just sell us junk.
Let's, in the final seconds that we have here, I just want to ask you a question. I don't want to sound like, you know, Glenn Beck or anything here, but, you know, when you hear American political leaders talk about China, you know, it's always in the tone of we have to respect China, we have to acknowledge they're a world power, we have to work with them. The world peace depends upon a cooperative arrangement with China. There seems to be a lot of concern, almost a fear of being intimidated by China. Why aren't you afraid of China?
I'm not afraid of China because all we're doing is enforcing the rules. China agreed, but to play by a set of rules. Look at, first of all, I don't believe in the WTO. That's a much longer story, but it's there. China wanted to be a part of that. America helped them become a part of the WTO. And in that process, they agreed to play by a set of what I'll call global rules. They don't play by those rules. So I'm not afraid of asking someone, or in this case, a country that said, we'll play by the rules. I'm not afraid of asking them to play by the rules. When we take trade case after trade case after trade case to the trade tribunal, we're not asking them to do anything but enforce the rules. It'd be no different than if you had a stop sign or a street light on a very busy corner and you said, everybody else has got to stop, but these guys don't. They can just drive right through. And then you decide you're going to enforce the rules. Is there something wrong with that? I don't think so. Not only that, I wasn't elected by Chinese government. I was elected by working people in North America, and they expect me and they expect this union to fight for them, and that's what I'm going to do.
How close are you to picking up the phone and calling the longshoremen and trying to prevent Chinese steel from landing at U.S. ports?
Well, as I said earlier, it's not just an issue of Chinese steel. The longshoremen have their job. It's an issue of the Chinese economic model doesn't work for the rest of the world. They create global overcapacity. They use that global overcapacity to keep their people employed, but they dump that overcapacity into the global marketplace, whether it's steel, whether it's paper, whether it's copper, whether it's aluminum. We got to force them through the global means to play by a set of rules, and we got to quit transferring our wealth to them.
Leo Gerard, International President of the United Steelworkers Union, thanks so much.
Thank you. Good to be on with you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.